desire your prayers this afternoon. As I was sitting here in the heat, I thought about what Jesus said to Simon Peter. We heard it earlier in this week. Simon, lovest thou me? I see faces here that was here last Thursday night, Friday morning. And if we had got that question on Friday morning, we were all charged up. Yes, Lord, I love you. He asked him three times. One of them was maybe about Wednesday of this week. You still love me? Heat's coming on now. And now it's Saturday afternoon. You still love me? Folks, I think about the times when we put forth a special effort. Just the body does not want it, but I know it's good for my soul. And
I feel faint but still pursuing.
Faint but pursuing. Many of you probably have seen the picture that Norman Rockwell painted of the beginning of the vacation and the end of it. But we're still hanging in there. Because I want to tell you, I believe the Lord has something for us. He wants us to be able to make heaven our home. And we've got about another day until each of us will go our separate ways back home again to start living life. And I was thinking this week about Daniel. I love the stories, always have, when Mom and Dad would read them to us for worship, of the big things that happened in Daniel's life. The lion's den, we've heard about it this week. And I heard this week too, I didn't know for sure before, but someone mentioned that maybe when he went into the lion's den, he may have been around 80 years old. We read of a few other things that happened in Daniel's life. We read when he became a captive. We read when he gave the dream to the king. I want to tell you, that was some special event. Because it's one thing to come up to concoct something. It's another thing to stand before the king, and you're going to see whether the light comes on in his eyes or not as you start telling him, "O king, this is what you dreamed." Daniel had all confidence in God that he was able to tell him, "Here's the dreams that came to your head." And it wasn't like Daniel said, "Okay, try this one. Does this sound right? If not, I got another one I'll try." No. Daniel had it just as clear from the Lord. But what I want to think from that is, it's kind of like our life. You know, we have maybe four events of Daniel, big events. But you know what? He had a lot of years that we don't read a thing about. And what I get from that is, what was happening with him through those other years was he was living in a manner to where he was prepared when that one time came. The time of an event in his life, now he's needed. And we didn't see where Daniel said, "Lord, I sure wish I was in the place that I should be. If you'll give me a few days, I'll get right with you, because I could lose my life if I give him the wrong dream." But Daniel had been living in a place to where he was prepared. I would like for us to be prepared, because we will have big events, major things happen in our life, times that we need the Lord so much. But you know, a lot besides that, we'll have days and months and years that's just everyday living. I have a tool that I would like to give you. And I have just started learning, really learning, to use it in my own life. There are people that's in the mechanic business where a tool specialist will come by and he'll tell you, "Here's something that's new on the market." Well, it's one thing for a salesman to tell me that, but it's another thing for somebody that's working in my trade that I do to tell me, "I used it yesterday and it worked in my life." Well, I want to tell you about one that I really wish I had used it more in the past. But as I have learned to use it today, it works. And I want to share it with you. Proverbs 3 and 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths." It's a guarantee from God Almighty. You acknowledge him. You acknowledge, "God, I need you," and he'll direct your paths. We have all probably used that before, maybe in a Sunday school verse. It's a good sounding verse. But I've thought about this, and I've found it to happen in my own life. God created man with the ability to reason. He created man with the ability to process information that comes to him and use it. That's a God-given gift to all of us. What would life be without it? How would I do my job at work if he didn't give me the ability to process information that comes to me and say, this works, this does not work? It's important for us. But I want to tell you, it also can be my downfall. Because I can come into the place where I start putting into categories the things that I can do. And the ones that God gets are the ones that are just way too big for me. I want to give you an example of that. When Joshua and the children of Israel looked at Jericho, it was no problem for them to take God's word and do whatever he said to gain the victory. Because I believe when they looked at the walls of Jericho, they said, there's no way we can do it on our own. So God could have told them whatever he wanted to. Instead, he just told them, here's the procedure. Walk around it. One time a day for 7 days. On the seventh day, do it exactly this way. And they did it exactly that way. I find that in my life. When I have a big, major event happening in my life, it's real easy for me to hand it to the Lord and say, Lord, you just tell me what to do, and I'll do it exactly that way. He could say it however he wanted to, and I'd do it. But then comes the others that seem to be a small event. I can handle those. Joshua went from Jericho to the next little town, and he started processing information in his mind. And those that were in authority that he sent out to take a look at Ai, they were processing information in their mind. What did they do? They looked at what a victory we just gained over here. So remember, they even came back to say, look, don't bother with getting all the people together, because we looked this situation over and just send a few people. There's no need to send the whole group. They're not needed. Just a few thousand people over there and we'll take care of them quick. There's a lot of things that as I'm processing information, I cannot see what's right around the corner. They were unable to see one piece of information that made all the difference for them. What was that piece of information? There was sin in the camp. They looked at the people and they looked at what God had done for them before, just a few days before, and they said, you're not going to need many people. Remember Joshua laying on his face when they came back fleeing from that little group of people. Already killed some of them, and the heart of the people is melting, and Joshua's laying on his face. Now he's seeking God. He's quitting the information processing on his own, and he's realizing, I need God. Well, he moved on down to a time where Joshua got another one to his credit and to the leader's credit. And that was when a group of people came to them. They had already gone through, and the fear of the Israelites was on the nations that they were, the ones that they were coming up against. And this group of people wants their lives spared, and so they come up with a plan. We're going to get some bread, and we need some old moldy bread, and we need some shoes that are wore out. And we're coming to the one that has talked to God before, and God told him specifically, here's exactly how to do it. They're going to stand up in front of Joshua and see if they can trick him. And they did. It was even to the point that Joshua and the others asked him, said, peradventure, you happen to be one of the next ones that we're going to come to. And they assured him, oh no, that's not the way it is. You know, at that point, Joshua was processing information. He was looking at what I see, and I believe this is the way it to be. How often in my life I have done the same thing. Because God has given me the ability to process information and come up with decisions to solve problems, I look at the things that are happening around me and I see this is the way it needs to go. To the point that Joshua looked at it and made a league with them. Now there was something else to Joshua's credit. He was a man of his word. When he found out that these people have tricked me, he could have said, everything's off. I'm going to take your life. But instead, he said, you know what? I did promise them their life, and I won't go back on that. But I've thought about how many times in my own life I have looked at things, processed information, when it would have been a lot different if I had taken it to God. Here's one that I want you, in your own mind for just a little bit, process this information. In Haggai 1, it starts out, it says, consider your ways. And then it starts giving us a little bit of information. Here's the information. You've sown much, and you bring in little. Now, if I go to work week by week, and I work hard, and it just isn't enough money to take me through the next week, I process information. And what will the answer be to that? Well, Dan, get up and get you a second job, and that'll take care of it. This is the God of heaven talking to the people. You've sown much, you bring in little. He says you're earning wages just to put it in a bag with a hole in it. As quick as you can put it in, it's running out again. And then it says you looked for much, and lo, it came to little. When you brought it home, I blew on it. Now, I'll tell you, when the God of heaven blows on it, it can scatter all over, and I can't collect it up. And quickly, the things that I felt like I'm in control of, I can realize, you know what? I'm no longer in control of those things. There's a verse in Psalms 46 and 1. It says, God is our refuge and strength. He's a very present help in trouble. That is a promise for me to be able to use. But how often in the troubles that come to my life, I'll put them in a category. This one is big enough for God to take care of. This one is one that I believe I can handle on my own. And you know what? We can find quickly that the little ones that I tried to handle on my own can quickly become out of control. I'd like to go to another verse. This one is, and I don't know that I've read this before. It's in 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, and the 5th verse. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God. Now, it's one thing for me to say that as a verse. It's another thing for me to pattern that in my life. My sufficiency is not of myself. The times that I'm processing information and coming up with answers, and it's whether it's on my job, it's whether it's through the temporal things or the spiritual things, I need God to lead me. Because I'm thinking of a song that we sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege. It's a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. It's our privilege to be able to bring everything to God in prayer. But it goes on to say, oh, what peace I often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain I bear. All because I do not carry everything to God in prayer. I've got another verse, Isaiah 26 and 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. He trusteth in thee in the small items that he could go do on his own, but he has learned to come to God and say, about the time I think I've got it under control, Lord, I find out I missed one little detail in the process. So I would like for you to lead me, guide me through this decision also. Because it's often the life events, the small things in life, those things that I thought I could handle, that robs my peace. I want to share with you, and I can only give you my own happenings in life that lead me to this conclusion. On my job that I work at an office building in Oklahoma City. There's two buildings there. One is 21 stories and one 16 stories, and they're tied together. And we do the maintenance on them. It's important to do preventive maintenance. Don't wait until the fan that serves the whole building is broke down and they're getting a lot of calls in. So every morning we'll have one man. He's responsible for walking all the equipment and just listening. Is there any sound difference? Is everything still running okay? Well, I had a time where we have one fan that serves 20 stories. So it's pretty important that it's not just a little fan unit. It's a fan room. And it supplies the air for 20 stories. Well, as we were working one day and they started giving me information, we've got a bearing on this one fan here that is starting to make a noise. And over the days, it starts increasing to the point we say, okay, before we take the chance of it completely breaking down, let's schedule a time and get it replaced. So I did that, had the guys working with me. We shut it down for repair. But that bearing, and it was a large bearing, it was seized on the shaft. And we worked with it. We did bearing pullers. We did all the things that we could do and could not get it off. Well, that's not going to be good enough to go to the boss the next morning and say, you know, we tried last night. We couldn't get it off, so we don't have a fan today. No, you got to get it off. So we ended up having to cut it off. Had to cut it off, and it was a big job, and it was a memory that stuck in my mind. I hope we don't have another one go bad. Well, a few years passes by. I've been there for 25 years, so a few years passes by, and we have another big fan with the same size bearing start making noise. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't go leaning to your own understanding. You acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He'll direct your paths. Wait a minute. Now, is the Lord interested in a bearing on a fan unit in my building? So, it's time to replace that one. I have a new employee working with me, so I'm going to take him with me to do it. So I know the tools I'll need because I've already done it in the past. We get them together, and I start toward it. And the Lord says, Dan, if you had asked me, I'd help you with this one. Oh, I love that. So in my head, I ask Him, Lord, I'd appreciate it if you'd help me with this bearing. He said, oh, no, not that way. Tell your employee that's working with you and that what you're going to be doing, the help that you're needing. Because, you know, it'd have been real easy if that one would have come off easy for me to tell the Lord with my meal, the next meal, thank you, Lord, I sure appreciate what you did. And this guy next to me wouldn't have known a thing about it. Well, I really need that bearing to come off this time. So I stopped and said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. So I tell this employee, we're up in the fan room now, ready to get started on it. And I tell him, I said, hang on just a minute. I said, I've done this before, and it wore me out. I said, let's both stop here, and let's ask the Lord. You know, He don't know what to think about all this. Let's ask the Lord, because He has the ability to help us with this. So we bow our heads and we pray, and He bows His head with me. Now, that can kind of put you in a tight spot, because there's only one way for the Lord to work, to impress my fellow employee. So we gear up for it, because in my mind, I've lived for the Lord long enough to know that He does things in different ways. Well, on this one, we start on the bearing, and I'm prepared to cut it off if I need to. But we've asked the Lord for it. That bearing was almost like it had never been tightened down with the set screws. It slid off the shaft. I was so impressed because I was able to tell the employee, this is what God can do for us. Well, I keep on working some more years, and we have some other events that I have to tell them, okay, let me tell you how the Lord works sometimes. Sometimes the Lord will do it exactly like I want. The bearing slid right off when we were through and gone in a quick amount of time. Sometimes the Lord gives you strength to keep on pressing. I'll always remember the verse that Brother Marty used, quit you like men. What does that mean? Don't quit. You stick with it until you get it done. Either way, God has helped us out. There are places that we are not comfortable with in things that we do. And right now I'm just talking about temporal, but I want to let you know, it works in spiritual just exactly the same. There are places that I'm not comfortable with, and yet I want to save money around the house. One of those is mechanic work on my car. I don't have the ability, but I don't like to spend the money. So I do my best to be able to do it. Recently, and I've learned on that one, that's a good one to take to the Lord. And just let Him know, Lord, I'm doing this, and I'd like to save the money on it. Would You help me with this? Well, I recently, just a few weeks ago, I had a fan clutch that I was needing to change on an old motorhome. And on one of those, you got to just lay down out across the motor inside the motorhome to work on it, first of all. And then to be able to put it on, you can't even see what you're doing. It's for you to use your hand and go up in there and know where it's supposed to go. And I knew I needed the Lord to help me on that one. So I went ahead and I spread a tarp underneath because things can happen. You can drop things and then go have to crawl under and find it. So just sure enough, about the time I'm trying to put a bolt in, it slips. And you can hear the special sound, those of you who have worked on engines, you hear it. It plinks and hits this piece of metal and then over here and hits this piece of metal. And you listen for it to hit the tarp, but it never hit the tarp. So I crawled underneath it. And see, all these times I get the privilege of asking the Lord, Lord, I'd really need your help now because it's somewhere in there, probably where it doesn't need to be. And I crawl under there and I'm feeling, I'm checking everywhere and I cannot find it. So I crawl back up on the top side and I'm looking and I can't find it. Well, you know, it's best not to leave things in there that are not supposed to be in there. So I'm asking the Lord, Lord, I'd appreciate it if you help me. And my light happened to hit just right to see that that bolt had landed where the V-belt meets up with a pulley. And it was right down inside that little crack there. Well, you know, I don't come away from that saying, tell you what, Lord, I am good at mechanic work. I come away saying, Lord, I appreciate what you have done for me. In all thy ways, you know, sometimes we come to prayer meeting on Wednesday night and we say, I don't have a clue of something to thank the Lord for. Start putting some more things over in his category and you'll have thanksgiving. You'll have more thanksgiving. I want to tell you, with this, I can give you a 100% guarantee that everything you bring to the Lord, he'll take care of it for you. And real quickly, you may say, Dan, you're fixing to paint yourself in a corner. Well, let me tell you why I won't. Because I also had another time where the Lord helped me. I happened to make the mistake of getting in the rental business. Some people can do real well with rent houses. Some of us can't. I learned quickly I couldn't and got out of it. But until I got out of it, I had one that the lady calls me on Friday evening and says, I just need to tell you my water bill is running real high this month. And I see this water running out into the street. Could you come by and fix it? That's one of the things that helped me want to get out of the business. But I said, okay. And you know, here's another thing. You've got to go take care of it. And I had been through that time right there. The Lord was my close friend. You ever had that feeling? He's right here by you. So he'll go with me when I take my shovel and try to find this leak. I started early in the morning because it's in the summertime. And I look under the house. There's no leak under there. But where it's coming out in the street is a long ways from the house anyhow. So I start digging. And I find water down there, but it's coming from somewhere else. Well, about an hour or 2 hours into that, I say, you know what? I'm doing all this work, and the Lord knows exactly where that leak is. Why didn't I ask him at the beginning? So I ask him, I stop. Lord, you know where this is coming from. You could help me to find that leak. This is why I can give you a 100% guarantee. Everything you take to the Lord, he will do it for you. Okay, hang on just a minute. Because I told the Lord, I said, now, Lord, you know where it is. And he did. And he helped me to find it about 5 hours later of digging. But you know what? You can take those times, and if I had never taken it to the Lord to start with, I'd have been frustrated. It would have ruined my day. But you treat it different when you ask the Lord to help you. Because I could go away from there saying, Lord, you know I needed the exercise. And you helped me to be able to find it. Because as it turned out, I had looked under the house where the supply line went up into the house. And everything was dry, so the leak is not there. It turned out that it was so dry around there at that time, it had not had rain, that it was a leak just under the surface of the dirt. And it was probably 150 feet away where it was coming out. It had followed that water line all the way to the street and gave me an opportunity to keep on digging as I was coming on back because I know it's not in the house. What a friend we have in Jesus. Those things that I would like for life to turn out this way. Folks, we can apply this in so many places. You come down sick and you bring everything to God in prayer. And I've got the way I would like for it to be. I would have liked for the Lord to have told me, okay, Dan, put your shovel right here and you will find it. But you know what he did? I kept on working and I did find it. There is a song that says, he will keep you through the fire when it becomes a furnace. He will keep you through the waters when it becomes a flood. It says he didn't make what he could not keep. He will not start what he can't complete. What he does not keep you from, he'll keep you through. It can be in any area of your life. God has the ability to answer it exactly like I want. I need to realize that had I the choosing of my pathway, in blindness I'd go astray. So I've decided God's way is best. So Lord, I want you to lead me in everything, and this will take effect in any phase of my life. When I come down sick next time, and I want God to do it this way, for me to realize any way it's done, God's hand is in it. I can't come out wrong there. There's 100% guarantee that He will help me through that. I want to move now for a little bit to something that is much more serious than whether I find a leak at a rent house. It's my soul. Scripture says in Psalms 119 and 109, my soul is continually in my hands. And I still have this ability, that a God-given ability to process information and make decisions that take me in a direction. Think of the verse in Genesis 2 and 7 where it says, He breathed into man the breath of life and he became a living soul. That was the beginning of the process that I have to deal with. Then it went on to Ecclesiastes 12. And you remember where in Ecclesiastes 12 and 1 it's talking, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember it in your youth. Because here's the next steps, and you read about the next seven verses in Ecclesiastes 12, and it tells about the aging process. And then it comes to the point that it closes out the process with saying, man goes to his long home. And it says, the spirit returns to him that gave it. And in the meantime, in that span of time that God has given me, my soul is continually in my hands. The decisions that I make, you know, much of the church world today will say, not a whole lot you can do about your soul, except just ask God to forgive you for all the things that you're doing, because you cannot live much higher than that. You know what, I can process information, and I can walk away from that saying, that sounds right to me. But I need to put some other information in that, and here's some of it. Hebrews 12 and 14 tells me to follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. I need to put that in my information process. That tells me, Dan, think about it how you want to. Take what the world says if you want to, but here's what I say about it. Put this information in that process. And another one is 1 Peter 1 and 15. As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. The bar is high for us, but the God of heaven has said, I'll walk with you through this. We have heard through this meeting more than once, several times, about holy, follow the Lord. Don't rely on my own ability to make decisions, because they can lead me astray. I have thought of the story that was given in 1 Kings 20. You remember when the prophet, he set out by the side of the road, disguised himself, because the king is coming by that way, and he has a story that he needs to tell him. Here's the story that he told him. He told the king, he said, thy servant was in the midst of a battle. And in the midst of that battle, someone turned aside with a prisoner, and they handed me that prisoner, and they said, keep this man. And one of the requirements for keeping him was, should he get away, you'll swap your life for his. Now, that's pretty serious. That'd be a serious charge. You know what, folks? We got the same charge, each one of us. Don't let this man get away. Watch your soul. Keep your heart with all diligence, because there's a day we're going to return this soul back to God again. And what did the prophet tell him? He said, while your servant was busy here and there, he got away. You know, it had to have been that the first day that he had that prisoner in his story, he watched him like a hawk. I will not swap my life for his. I'll watch him. He will not get away. But time passes, as it does with us. And the determination, because you know what, with him, if it was in reality, he's got to sleep sometime. He's going to have to, he says, watch this man, don't let him get away, because you'll swap your life for his. He said, I got busy with some other things, and I think time passed before he started getting lenient about watching. The same thing is with us today. And I'd like to tell you, just like God would like to be in the middle of all of our other affairs of life, if we'll let Him, He would like to be in the forefront on this one. Because as I look at it, God never intended to give me that, keep your heart with all diligence. My soul is continually in my hands, and not give me some way out of it. And I want to tell you, there is the verse that says, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. I can decide, okay, I understand, and I think about it. I've been raised among the church all my life. I have heard the do's and the don'ts. I've heard the things to stay away from and the things to embrace. You know what? If I'm not careful, I can take those things, and just like the rich young ruler, I'm doing them, but there's something lacking. I can have something lacking after I'm doing all those things. Sometimes we can have a neighbor, a good neighbor, one that you would recommend to anybody. He doesn't do anybody wrong, but he just does not feel a need for God. And you know, we can have ourselves sometimes wondering, well, surely a good person would make heaven his home. I thought about a song that says, no righteousness of ours will ever avail, not of mine nor of his. But through the Lamb of God, we shall prevail. There's power in his blood. All else will fail. Everything else that I try to be able to do these things because I want to make heaven my home, they're going to come up short. It'll be the blood of Christ that is what's going to be needed for me to make heaven my home. So I think about in my own life, there is something that God has given. He desires us, each one, to take advantage of. He doesn't want us to say, this is the category that I can do it on my own. I know how to treat a person when they do me wrong. Because I tell you, when I try it on my own, I will end up having to go back and apologize because I'll do it wrong. But I want to talk to you about something for a little bit that God wants to give us. And sometimes I can get into the place where I know what to do, so I'm doing it on my own. And that is grace. God-given. And I think about the definition that we've had for it in the past. It's the unmerited favor of God. But when I take that definition, I really don't merit anything from God. The breath He gives me is because He cares about me. So I like the other definition. It's divine power available from God. And here is where I can put some things in my category spiritually. I can take care of these. And there is a place for me to take care of some things myself. But I always need to remember, even in those, I need God. I need His divine grace, His power to be able to walk with me through that. I'd like to look at a verse of a song in song number 43 for just a little bit. What a mighty God we serve. And every one of us would today agree, God is a mighty God. We sing that song, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I look around at what God has done, and I say He's a mighty God. There is something that happened a few years ago that has always stood in my mind. When some of the saints from down at Honduras, at Roatan, contacted the saints here in the States, it was in hurricane season, and they said, there is a hurricane that is projected to hit our area. We desire prayer. And I mean, the call goes out. The saints start praying. We could turn on our radio here, and they project way on out even things that's coming to the United States. So they will tell you other countries that it's at. And they were telling on the radio then, we project that it'll hit the Honduras area at this time. Well, the little island of Roatan, as narrow as it is, you know, I lived in Louisiana. We could be 60 miles from the coast, and it's still tearing things up when it gets up there. So a little island, it go clean it off and keep on going. So I remember them calling for prayer. Would you pray? Folks, that's one of the things. We didn't put it over in our category. What would we do with something like that if we were supposed to fix it? That one went straight to God's category. Lord, we need you. Would you please help us out? It was a miracle to me. They even told it on the radio. That thing has veered off. It's missed it. It was gone another way. And it can be, they can give scientific reasons. The ocean temperature changed a little bit and it caused this to happen. Who changed the ocean temperature? This song says, what a mighty God. It says, our Father's wondrous works we see in the earth and sea and sky. He rules o'er all in majesty. I'm not talking about just the trees and the birds. He rules over every one of my problems that I am willing to say, Lord, I'd like to take this one out of my category because I haven't done so well lately on the things that I need to fix by myself. I'd like to ask you to take control of it. It says the raging winds and waves are calm when he says to them, be still. The heavens praise him in a psalm, and the angels do his will. And then it goes on down in the last verse, something that I had nothing to do with. Our God to save from sin's control, he gave his son a sacrifice. His grace abounding in the soul makes the earth a paradise. His grace abounding in the soul. And it makes me think about the verse that talks about grow in grace. And I remember the children of Israel, when God supplied them with the food that they needed, manna. And he told them, you'll have enough for today. Don't try to collect enough for all week. Sometimes in the battles that we go through, we'd like to go ahead and collect up enough grace that'll take me through the end of July. It'll be enough to take care of any problem that comes. Why does God not give that to us? Okay, come to me on July 1st and I'll give you enough through July 31st. Because he did, I wouldn't be back until August the 1st. But you know what? He sends something to me that tomorrow I need it to be replenished again. I need him to walk with me again. All his grace is free as the air we breathe. We may each have a full supply. So then why would I ever go through life without enough grace? Because I didn't go to the one that gave it. Too many times where I have tried in my own, I believe I can handle this one. And it's not so much that I don't believe the Lord can handle it, but sometimes we feel like God gave me the ability to process information and make decisions and bring them to an end. I believe the Lord would be interested in every one of us more and more taking the smallest details of our life and saying, Lord, this is the way I would do it. But Lord, I'd like for you to lead me because I may be missing a little bit of information. Joshua missed only a little bit of information, one small bit of information about the battle of Ai. If he had only asked God before he even sent the people to check out the town, Lord, I thank you for that one. Now we're coming up on this one and we really need your help. What about it? Is there anything different today than there was yesterday? And the Lord could have told him, yeah, don't even get them to go look at that town. You got a problem that you got to take care of. In all thy ways, trust in the Lord with all your heart. How far does that go in 2015? I thought about graduation ceremonies that are out in the world, and I remember it when I graduated. And we've heard it many times out in the world. Young people are just graduating, and they're a little unsure of life. And so the speaker will try to pump them up. He will tell them, the world is yours. The sky's the limit. Go for it. Nothing can stop you. And I can understand that because I have a problem with an inferiority complex too. So they're trying to tell them, don't let that hold you back. Go after it. But I want to tell you, you'll only go so far till you fall on your face without God's help. Every one of us, we need him. I was thinking of another verse, Hebrews 4 and 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. I've thought about that. That's a promise for us. You come after it anytime you want it. I was thinking about the woman and the unjust judge. Jesus himself telling that story, that she came over and over again till she wore him out. And Jesus could have said, I'm telling you this story because don't even try that on me. Was that why he did it? Nope. He said, that's the way I want you to do it. When you have a need, you just keep on bringing it. You just bring it to the one that has the solution for it. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. In all of my ways, saying, Lord, my thinking would take it this way. Lord, I need your direction in my life. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our times of need. I'm thankful for that. 2015, when I should be able to figure everything out on my own, I'm just starting to find out that song that says I can't even walk without him holding my hand. The mountains are too high. The valleys, they're too wide. And now I've had enough experience to find out those things that I thought I knew and I did them. And by the time I had to go back and patch them, Lord, I need your help in everything. By the grace of God, song number 184, it says a lot of things that I plan to do. I'd like to take a look at this song for just a minute in closing. By the grace of God, I'm saved today. So it's nothing that I take on my own of what I was able to do. By the grace of God, I'll never yield. By the grace of God, I'll testify. By the grace of God, I'll never fear. And by the grace of God, I will keep my eyes on the Lord alone and the promised prize. If I bear all things in his precious name, I'll trust his grace and his promise claim. By the grace of God, I'll live for him. I'm going to trust his power to keep me from sin. Not even in my own ability of all the years that I built up to know how to do right and wrong. I'm not going to trust that. I will never doubt. I'll resist the foe. I'll grow in grace as I onward go. So maybe this is a twofold message. There's going to be times that just literal things, things that I never thought before God was really too much interested in. I could do it whichever way I wanted to. But I found out when the problems came from it, it did cost me my peace. And if I want to have my peace, if I do it his way, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. How is his mind stayed on thee? Because he trusteth in thee. He is continually realizing God has the answer for this problem that I think I have the answer for, may or may not be right. I'm going to trust the Lord for it. I desire your prayers.